You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
I wanted to share this with you. I think we shared it the last couple years on Mother's Day, and I think it's very fitting, and I think it's something that we can do pretty much every year. But it's a Mother's Day poem. So I wanted to read this to you as we open this morning. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods, tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing on grandchildren, yet the dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. And this morning, we remember you. Happy Mother's Day. God is good, is he not? And I will say this, even in God's goodness, sometimes we skip over and just assume that, you know, Mother's Day is a great day, and at times it's a challenging day. I know we have a situation here in our with our fostering and what we're doing, and so I think it's a day that we just need to be very conscientious as we honor one another and look to the Lord this morning. So one thing that I would like to start out by saying is that I understand how hard many of you work and how hard you run. And I believe in your working and in your running, it is easy to get weary and empty. So the big idea today is about being empty. And that's kind of where I wanted to transition this morning into our part three of this whole water series. As we lead into that, that's kind of where I'm wanting to go this morning. So bear with me here. I remember the first time and the last time that I ran out of gas with Beth in the car. You guys here with me this morning? It was not good. And on the way to a softball game, I was running late and she kept telling me, going to run out of gas. You're going to run out of gas. And I was trying to get there on time, and I kept pushing it, and I just knew that we would be fine until the car kind of ran out of steam. And I got over on the side of the road there, and there's nothing more humiliating than standing on the side of the road with your wife in the car. She's not getting out, by the way, trying to figure out how you are going to get the gas because you've run out and you are on empty. So here's what I know about being empty, right? When you're empty, you cannot get very far. Right on. Somebody say, right on, Ryan, right on. You get stuck. Oh, right on, Ryan. You get stuck, right? You run late. Oh, my goodness. Right on. Thanks, Brother Doc. You're here this morning. It impacts other people. Oh, believe me, I knew that. I knew it was impacting my significant other, my blessed wife. You need help, right, when you run on empty. You draw from others, right? You draw from others. One way or another, you've got to get a gas can, because I don't know about y'all, but I don't carry a gas can in my car. And I can just tell you, it's not a good feeling when you're empty, is it? It's just not. And you just feel like, well, you got nothing. And so this morning, I kind of wanted to kind of parlay that with some of those feelings that I experienced on the side of the road. Because here's the deal. The reason you have nothing is because you continually pour out. You spend that, right? You spend that. You burn that. You give and you give and you give, and there is all the... And when you do that, when there's all that going out and there's not enough coming in, you're going to get stuck, right? You're going to run empty. You're going to get to a place where I got nothing. Right? So what happens? What happens when that happens? I know this. I know that it's just like dehydration, right? When you get dehydrated, right, you get weak, you get weary. You need that water to fill you up. My mom would always say, you're not drinking enough. Have you ever heard that, right? You're not drinking enough. You need to drink more water. You're not drinking enough. And it's important because you need to replenish yourself and hydrate yourself. Dehydration is dangerous. It's not healthy, right? And we can talk about physical dehydration, and we've got doctors in the room that can get up and talk to you more, much more eloquently than what I can about any of that and how it affects you physically. But I can tell you, just as you can get dehydrated physically, you can get dehydrated spiritually. Right on, Ryan. Oh, Brother Doc, man, you're on it. Right on, right on. And it is true, though, isn't it, Doc? It is true. And so... we all know that we need a drink. We all know that we need a drink of that water, that living water, to help us, to replenish us, and to help us move forward spiritually. And here's what I want to say. This is an issue. It's an issue. We sense spiritual dehydration in our own lives. We sense it in our homes. We sense it in our churches. We sense it individually. We sense it. We know it when spiritually we are dehydrated, when we're empty and we got nothing. Jesus knew the Pharisees in John chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees, and what we're going to talk about in this passage, it's all about spiritual dehydration. It's about being empty and having nothing. And it's interesting, and you're going to see this. You'll see it through this passage of Scripture. So let me just share this with you. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Verse 1. Verse 2, though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. Right? Jesus was allowing his disciples to experience that. And they were seeing people baptized, people who had been spiritually dehydrated, people that needed that living water, people who were ready to be replenished and revived and renewed, that were accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they were seeing things happen. And so he left Judea and he returned to Galilee. Now here's the truth. And I think I just need to say this and just remind everyone, the desired outcome for this series of messages called Water is that we, on the first week of June, are going to have a baptism service unlike what we've ever had before, right? It was so awesome last week. Someone in our midst, in one of the services, and I'm not allowed telling you who, it was amazing. They came to me afterwards and they said, Ryan, we believe in what you guys are doing regarding baptism, so much so that we want to know the cost of what it's going to take for you to bring that baptismal into this building. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And I told them, and they are paying for that. So we have ordered this. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. And then we've ordered this hot tub, all right? And I'm telling you, it's got a heater. It's got everything. And I promise we're not going to be sitting in it while no one's around, you know, doing our thing. But honestly, we are thrilled about what we've got and what we're seeing happen. So with that said, it was just really cool, right? It was cool. It's cool that someone stepped up in it. And I'll tell you, it really blessed me, and I'm sure like you this morning, but someone was moved to do that, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate what we see and what we're seeing here in this church. So the truth is this baptism thing is the desired outcome. This is what we want to see happen. This is what we call the fourth conversation as we go through and look at what we're doing as a church. And I don't want to get into all that today. It's a sidebar. But the bottom line is life change, baptisms. We're looking at transformational prayer ministries. We're looking at the outflow. There's all this stuff that we pour into what we do in terms of our tithe and offering and giving and activity and support and expressions, you know, our Recovery Church and Open Tail Ministries and the Facebook live stream and all this stuff that we do, the band rehearsal, the life groups, the ladies stuff, all this stuff. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, what is it that we want to see come out of this? It's life change. Thanks. Thank you so much. And a demonstration of that life change is the whole idea of one way to measure that or look at that is what we see with baptisms. Baptism is the celebration. It is the party. It is the highlight of everything that we do. And my prayer is that we will see ongoing baptisms. It will never leave. It will continue to move forward because this is what Jesus did, and this is what Jesus called us to do in the Great Commission. Right? And that's where it all boils down. If you throw everything that the church does, not just our church, but all the churches, you throw everything that the church does into this funnel, what is it that we hope that trickles out? It's transformation. It's people accepting Christ and accepting the idea of coming into a personal relationship with Him. And by such and with that, the demonstration of that, the outward expression is people coming experiencing baptism. So I'm excited. June the 1st is our first baptism service in this building, and I encourage you to be here and be a part of that. I'm sorry, June 3rd. Sorry. Thank you, Lee, for keeping me straight. All right. So sidebar and all that, but check this out. In verse 4, Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And what you're going to see here is that Jesus was thirsty. What you're going to see here is that Jesus also got weary. There's nothing wrong with getting weary, folks. Jesus himself was, you could say, in some ways, empty, right? He needed to be filled physically, but I think in some ways a measure of spiritually. You see Jesus needing to take reprieve. It's all through the Gospels. Read the Gospels. You'll see Jesus needed to step away. Jesus needed a little bit of time. Jesus needed some isolation. Why is that? Yes, Jesus is divine. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. But also he is human. He's human. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's both divine and human. And why is that important to us this morning? It's important because because Jesus understands where we are. He can identify with us. He can identify with you mothers that are sitting there that was emotionally struck with the poem that was just read, right? He can identify with your hurts. He can identify with your hang-ups. He can identify with your need this morning. And I find peace in that, comfort in that. The God of the heavens and the earth, the God who created me, the God who set everything up in order, identifies with where I am and identifies with what I need. That's refreshing to me. And so here Jesus was, he sat on the side. What's cool about this in verse 4 was that he, in the King James, it says, he must needs go through Samaria. I don't know what that means other than he needed to go where he was going. He needed to take the road that he took to get to Samaria, right? Samaria was on the way, but typically the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. There was some animosity between the two. And Jesus went right through the heart of it. And what's you'll see here in just a second. He needed to go through Samaria. What's really interesting was that this town, Sychar, whatever, we'll figure out how to pronounce it later. But the truth is that this town where he was, right, and what he was going through, it was known for its debauchery. It was known for alcoholism. It was known as a wild place, man. It was wild, right? It was known for drunkenness and wild living. And this is where Jesus needed to go, right into the heart of not just Samaria, but right into the heart of this area where people were living wildly, right? And so here Jesus was. Jesus needed to go there. He was sitting there at this well. And in all of this, let's look at verse 7. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at this time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food, the scripture says. Now, what's interesting is the Samaritan woman was alone. This was an awkward setup, at least it would be for most of us, right? You have a Jew and a Samaritan woman, and here's the truth. The truth is that back then, the well was kind of a meeting place. It was a place where people would meet and gather, and not only that, but it's not a stretch to say that this was also a place where a woman may or may not, or should not frequent there alone unless they have an ulterior motive. It's not a stretch to consider that at this meeting place with this woman, knowing in just a minute this woman's reputation, that she potentially could have been there, it's not a stretch to think, for more than just wanting to draw water. And there was Jesus. And Jesus initiated a conversation which was odd and awkward in and of itself in some ways, because Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And not only that, but the situation as it was, the woman, as you're going to find out in a minute, didn't have the best reputation. And she was there alone. Jesus was there. And Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Here's what I think is really cool. And what I think that we can get out of that here this morning is that, man, aren't you glad that Jesus carries no judgment? Jesus sees us for who we are in all of our shortcomings and in all of our weaknesses. He sees you right where you're at with all of your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups. He sees you as empty can get. He sees you when you got nothing. And he looks at you and he says, I want to initiate relationship, and I want to share my grace with you. We believe in this at this church and in the the doctrine that we believe is that God is a God of prevenient grace, meaning a grace that comes before, right? He initiates and shares that love and grace before we even know him, before we even are deserving of him. He sees us where we're at, and he wants more than anything for us to experience his love and his infilling. And that's what he wanted for this woman. And here she was, as awkward as it could have been, the Jews not having any dealings with the Samaritans, not to mention that this was a Samaritan woman. And not only was she a woman, but she was from this sidecar. She was from this town of wild living. I mean, drunkenness and all this. And not only that, but like you're going to see in just a second, she had not the best reputation. Let's just say she'd been around the block a time or two. At least five. Like us, she knew all about being empty. She had nothing. You cannot, and like we said earlier, when you got nothing, when you're empty, you cannot get very far. You're stuck. She was stuck. Her situation impacted other people. She was someone who needed help. She was drawing from others. She wasn't feeling good about her place or her condition. And just like you got nothing at times, she had nothing. She was empty. Empty, doing what she had always done, looking to quench her thirst, looking to find fulfillment, looking to get out of the situation that she was in. Verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and you are speaking to, you would ask." If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me. Jesus is saying, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. If we only knew. See, I think sometimes, if we only knew, sometimes if we could only know, if we could only comprehend that what Jesus offers us is something that truly brings fulfillment and peace and hope and love and grace and healing. If we only knew. In verse 12, "And besides, do you think you're greater?" Verse 11, I'm sorry. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water?" She's inquisitive, but she's not knowing. She's not understanding. She didn't know, folks. She did not know. "And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestors?" And she goes through, she's trying to figure this out, and she's asking these questions. I don't believe she's being rude here. When I read it, I don't feel like, some of the commentaries think that she's being rude, and she doesn't understand who she's talking to. That we would agree on, right? That we would agree on. Here's what I think that we need to know this morning, is there are people all around us who have no idea. They don't know. They do not know. And thank God for Don Fricke coming in for Recovery Church. If you've not done Recovery Church with Jeff and Don and Bill and Kim, if you've not done Recovery Church, come and check it out. It is awesome stuff, man. They are sharing the gospel and the grace of God. They're sharing Jesus with people and sharing this living water. And there's people, there's 30 to 50 people on any given Tuesday who are thirsty and need a drink, and they are giving to them what needs to be given. Open Table Ministry, the stuff that we're trying to do is share this living water. And folks, I think it's easy to forget that people don't know. She did not know. This poor woman did not know. Look at verse 13. It says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Verse 15, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water or come here to get what I usually get here, which is not fulfilling at all and only leaves me emptier. See, looking to Christ as a source of provision, hope, that's what this is about. A God who meets our needs and a God who helps us. Jesus says, go and get your husband. Jesus told her, go and get your husband. And here's her response. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Can you see now how the woman at the well was looking for fulfillment? Can you see now how the woman at the well was searching and looking and trying to figure this thing out? How she was trying to get peace in her own life, and she thought, you know, maybe this man can bring peace and fulfillment to me. Do you see where we're going with this today? And maybe your issue or our issues are not, you know, with a significant other, but maybe our issues are some other thing that we go to trying to find that peace and fulfillment. You know, when the truth is the living water is only found through Jesus Christ. And you coming and experiencing the Word of God, you taking the Word of God at home and getting, opening up that Word and looking at it and reading and praying through it and asking for understanding. This relationship with Jesus is what brings fulfillment and hope and peace. This is what replenishes your soul and does not leave you empty. It always gives you something. His blessing, His gifts to you are always real and alive and applicable. Verse 21, Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship. She threw up these questions, and it was all dogma. It was all about doctrinal stuff and stuff that got in the way of her fully understanding God. Don't you see that a lot too, right? The stuff in church that's happened to you in the past and how sometimes that distracts you from what God's trying to give you, right? And she was hung up on some of this. And Jesus just stopped her cold and shared with her about how, in verse 21, how none of that matters. It doesn't matter where you worship the Father. There was this argument or differences about where to worship God. Verse 23, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We have that privilege to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, Father, come and be with me now. That's His spirit. His spirit. What's John chapter 14 say about His spirit? His spirit is something that offers comfort. John talks about it. He says this. He says that His spirit is a comforter. It's offers comfort and peace. The Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit's here this morning. And He's prodding you. He's touching you. He's speaking to you right now. I pray He is. And He's here. God is here with us. The Spirit of His Spirit is here. And not only does that Spirit offer comfort, and at times conviction and reproof. At times, man, at times his spirit will say, hey, what you're doing, Ryan, is not right, and you need to go and get forgiveness, or you need to get clean, or you need to take that to the Lord, or you need to ask for forgiveness. That's all about coming to that well and drinking that living water. Here's the truth. The Spirit also offers truth. Lord, this is how I feel. Can you help me with this? What do you have to say about this? What is your truth about this situation? And what's the Lord do? If you listen, the Lord will speak truth to you and help you, no matter what you're dealing with. If it's grief, if it's anxiety, if it's a lack of peace, what's the source and origin that the enemy's trying to hang you up with? And his Spirit and truth will come, and it's limitless, and he will speak to you when you need it, when you ask for it. Helping you, bringing you along, nurturing you. He wants more than anything a relationship with you. And that's the living water. The living water is that relationship with the Lord. And when we have the choice, we can open up, we can, it's like turning on the shower, right? Or turning on the faucet. We can turn that on and receive it, or we can at times turn that off and not receive it. And when we go a different way, and God gives us that choice, by the way. He gives us a choice. We can turn it off. And when we turn it off, that's when we get empty, spiritually void, in need of help. So in wrapping this up, Jesus told her what the woman said. She recognized him. When he started talking about the Spirit of truth, for God is his Spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 25, the woman then had the awakening, the epiphany. And by the way, the woman alone with Jesus at the well, you know, I believe that you and I need to get alone with Jesus. And when you get alone with Jesus, man, he reveals himself to you. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, the disciples, they came back and they were shocked to find him talking to this woman, right? But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? They're all thinking it. Why are you talking to her? She's a Samaritan. She's from this wild area. These are questions. They were coming to their mind. They didn't have the nerve to ask Jesus. They saw what was going on. And here in verse 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone what she had found. Awesome stuff. It's one of my favorite, most beautiful stories. I think the Lord here is calling us to leave that one thing that weighs us down. That water jar was what she used to go back to that well for whatever reason. That water jar was her, in a lot of ways, probably her identity. That water jar was what she thought maybe gave her value. That water jar, perhaps it was the excuse to go back and find another acquaintance or another significant other. Who knows what that water jar meant, but what we do know is that the water jar was what she left behind as she received what she received from Jesus, and what she left to go back and share with others this sense of fulfillment and peace that she found. What is your water jar this morning? What is that one thing that weighs you down, that one thing that you think you need that you don't need, that one thing that keeps you from being all that God wants you to be? You know what that is this morning. I think you do. What is that? Maybe it's an idea or a thought or a belief. Maybe it's something you spend your time doing that keeps you from receiving all that God has for you. Let's all stand, can we? In Revelations, there's a scripture, verse 22:17. It says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." Folks, you have the opportunity this morning to turn that faucet on. The opportunity this morning to receive all that God has for you. That opportunity this morning just to allow God to pour Himself in you. His Spirit and His truth coming in to you. Some of you, maybe today this is all foreign. Maybe this is all brand new stuff. Maybe some of you here this morning, maybe you, like me, at times, just get empty. You got more going out than going in, right? Maybe you this morning are just at a place where you need God to pour into you like He poured into this precious lady who the enemy meant to kill, steal, and destroy. Used she was, and God gave her value. Maybe you need to know that God loves you this morning, and maybe you need to rekindle that relationship with Him. Maybe you need to open up your heart and life and receive Him for the first time. Maybe there's some here this morning that just would want to pray with me. Let me pray first, okay? Father God, open up our hearts and lives this morning. I pray that You would help us. Thank You so much for these stories in Your gospel, the writings that we can read and go back and reflect upon, the writings, God, the scriptures that shares what You did for people and what you're doing for us. Thank You, God, for Your word. Thank You, God, for the hope that we find in this. Many of us here this morning probably can identify with this woman. We got more going out than coming in. We're empty. We got nothing. And maybe this morning, God, I believe that there's people here this morning that want to receive, and they want to experience that relationship with You, both in spirit and in truth. With all everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to confront you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise I will not. But just between you and God this morning, we just lift up your hand and say, I want that water, that living water. I see those hands across the building. I see those hands this morning. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. So, Lord, You see those folks that are here and those folks that want that water. They want You. So just pray with me, folks. I'm going to pray this right here. I'm just going to pray. Father, come into my life. Father, fill me. Father, I'm running low or I'm empty. And I need You this morning. Fill me with Your Spirit and truth. Make me whole. Let me taste of this water. In Jesus' name. Father, wash away all my sins and shortcomings. Forgive me for failing You. And help me to know You more. In Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.